today. And, you know, I wonder how many people actually tune in time to hear these intros. I put a lot into them, and I don't think anybody gets anything out of them. But anyway, as you probably know, there's a new hot movie just came out. It's called Kick-Ass. It's about ordinary people who adopt superhero identities and go out in the world and fight the bad guys. And I think there was a movie about that before with Ben Stiller 5 or 6, 7 years ago, but this is a different one. And I was thinking, as I saw the trailers, that this show, the Recruiting Animal show, is kind of like the Kick-Ass of the recruiting world. We've got the Money Honey. We got the Rottweiler. We got the Boy Wonder, Indy Andy, the Menopausal Witch. Everybody's got a character. And every week, we're here fighting for truth, justice, and the North American way. The North American way. And one of the ways we kick ass on this show is just by calling a spade a spade. If you watch Twitter, you see a million articles all day long telling you how to sell yourself like a bag of potato chips. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, well, let me just say something. These advisors, they tell you everything. They're really good. They tell you how to tell the truth. They tell you how to hide the truth. And they tell you how to suck up. But part of their shtick is to lie about it. They'll admit to number one, telling the truth, but not to number two and not to number three. But you know what? I just read an article about handwritten thank you notes. And the author says, listen to this, aren't you more likely to remember that nice salesperson who dropped you a note? Doesn't it make you feel good? And aren't you more likely to call her again? Well, this is absolutely mercenary. It's pure emotional manipulation. And that's not bad. It doesn't mean you don't care about anybody, but when you're selling something, you're not there to care about them. You don't want other people to like you. Well, yes, you do. That's exactly what you want. You want other people to like you. So they'll give you what you want. That's what you want. Anyway, these live shows, I always make mistakes. Anyway, if you want people to give you what you want, you got to play them the right way to get it. You have to know how to manage people. You don't have to be sincere. You have to be wily, and you have to be smart. And smart people know that goodwill is something you buy. People don't just give it to you unless you're super special, and most of us aren't. But look at this. It's very funny. Most people are willing to say that you have to earn goodwill, but they don't like saying they buy it with calculated moves to make you look good to them. But I found this quote today from Mary McDonald. She won the iPad at the True USA, and she says, I remembered something powerful that Ryan Powell, the community manager at Brazen Career, said. He said, if you do things for people in your community, they're going to do the same things for you. You have to woo people just like Casanova. And wooing them is not loving them. It's getting them to love you or to feel obligated to you. Now, my guest for today, she's a smart person. She's a recruiter, and she has a very attractive picture of herself that she posts on her website, and it speaks to you. And you know what it says? It says, hey, don't I have nice shoulders? And you say, you know what? Yes, you do. And that makes you feel good about her in a nice way, not a Tiger Woods way. Family show. And you think to yourself, isn't she sweet? And you want to do business with her. And we're going to give her a chance to woo you. On Jerry, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
You've been tired after the drive back.
No, man.
No, man. Okay.
I eat pavement, buddy.
Cherney Vitello, are you there?
I am. Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, Cherney, I'm so glad you're here. I met you at an UN conference, and Jerry was there, too. And it just so happens that Jerry just returned from another unconference, so before you and I get going, I want to ask him what it was like. Is that all right with you?
That is fine. We'd love to hear about it.
Jerry, Mike Vander Voort said, True USA offered amazing learning opportunities. What did you learn?
What did I learn? I picked up a few pretty interesting guitar riffs from the band.
Yeah, Jerry, let's imagine that you haven't been in the business for 100 years and know everything already. Is there anything that you might have learned?
Well, I will tell you what I learned is there's a whole world of sourcing that I need to master, and that there's a lot more than just posting jobs.
Okay.
And there were some pretty sharp people.
Jerry admits he was wrong. Jerry was wrong.
No, I don't admit I was wrong. I admit I need to learn some stuff.
Okay, you know,
not knowing something doesn't mean that you're wrong.
Cherney, we won't press on with that. Jerry ridicules people. He doesn't like to admit that when he's made a mistake. But so, Churn, still there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Give us your elevator speech. Give us your elevator speech.
About what I do?
Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, gosh.
I've been a high-tech recruiter since 1995. Since 2001, I own my own firm. My clients specialize in all kinds of technology.
Thank you for that. Yes, thank you.
I tell you more
that.
About that, but you wouldn't understand it.
No. Well, we're located in Geneseo, New York, which is upstate New York. But most of my clients, or what we mostly do, is recruit downstate. So we specialize in technology companies that are scaling, and we help them really grow their staff. That's really what we specialize
in. Okay, what I meant, you said your client companies are involved in virtualization, infrastructure, business transaction monitoring, security, networking, supply chain, and PR technology. That's a mouthful that you have to leave out because you don't know. You know they don't understand it anyway. If you said some PR technology, they might get it or something like that. Anyway,
well, you know, I want to get our name out in those searches, you know. Companies are looking for or people are looking for virtualization type opportunities.
Yeah, let me lead you, okay?
There's
lots of noise in the background already. You know I don't like that. Look, Cherney, you said that you help your clients scale up. Do you specifically target small companies that are going to grow?
No, that just happened by chance. So that's where we went in, and that just really became my niche.
How?
How did that happen?
Like, how do you find those? Do you target those companies?
No,
actually,
it's all word of mouth. Most of our networking is done purely by word of mouth with companies that have done business with us before that refer me into people that they know or their network, and that's how we get our clients. It's all network-based.
Really? What percentage of your clients is from referrals?
100%.
Absolutely fantastic.
That's
what
all means.
Excuse me?
Thanks,
that's
Jerry.
What all means.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks.
I'm here to clarify.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. That's what he's good at. Now, look for a second, Cherney. What about before you were so popular? How did you get your clients then?
We actually have always been very lucky, Animal, that all our business has always been networked and word of mouth. We have never, ever, ever had to do a job.
You've never had to call anybody and say, I want your business?
I've had to call a lot of candidates and say I want their business, but I've never had to call a client, no.
Wow.
Really, in your whole recruiting career, I just want to specify this, Jerry, because I don't take everything at face value like you, okay? In all your career, you've never made a marketing call. Is that what you're saying?
I have never had to do cold calling yet for the business now.
Unbelievable. How can I do that?
Well, you know, I'm just very fortunate to have great clients, and our clients are very pleased with what we do, and then they've been very much – I've been very lucky for them to pay it forward for us. So I don't take it for granted. I'm just very glad that they're willing to do that. That doesn't mean that I don't investigate clients and look at what's on the horizon, but we – you know, I have to also handle the demand that we have right now. So I'm very fortunate that way.
Okay, you know, I have a friend, a kind of a friend. She's a well-known financial journalist here in Toronto, and sometimes she sends me information about social media. And she said that some people pick their financial consultants partly from the picture. They don't know anything about financial stuff, so they look at the picture on the website or on LinkedIn, and they say, you know, I kind of like her. Now, I complimented your picture. Does that get you any business?
I don't think so.
Really?
But I appreciate that.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I think you did the picture very nicely. I wish it looked as good on my site as it does on your website. But no, I think really we've had a very good fortune to work with really, really great clients. I have amazing, amazing clients.
That sounds like propaganda. What does it mean I've got amazing clients?
Well, we really work hard to develop relationships with our clients. So most of our clients we've been working with for 8 years, 6 years, and so we really know who they are, and they trust what we do, and I trust what they do, and then they forward it on. So
yeah,
I've been very grateful about it.
What makes them great? Just the fact that they're willing to give you referrals, right?
No,
the
I
fact
think
is, the fact is you're saying you're great, and they're willing to acknowledge
no, no,
that.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just
that saying
that
saying.
They
that
have
is
great
what you're
stories.
Saying.
What makes them great is they have great stories. They have great technology. They have a great product.
What was your last
brand.
Placement? What was your last placement?
Was a PR account executive for a client of mine, and then that person accepted on Monday.
PR?
And
I thought you were high-tech.
She's in the high-tech space.
She's PR for high-tech companies.
Yes, exactly.
How did you find her? Can you tell us?
How I found her?
Yeah, because she's not in your database, is she?
No, she wasn't. We actually found that candidate through cold calling.
Okay. How did you identify the list of people you were going to cold call?
We did research on companies in New York City that specialize in technology, and we put a list together, and then we went out and
This is a show with details, so people can actually learn something. If you want to withhold information, I respect that as your competitive edge, but just tell me. So what were your sources? What were your resources for putting that list together? Hey, kid, do you have a question?
Well, I kind of knew who in New York was in finance or who was in New York that was in tech.
So you just pulled a bunch of companies out of your head. Is that what you're
saying?
No,
actually, I've been working with folks in those areas and building my database with those types of folks for the last 6 years.
Yeah, don't say folks on the show. You know, I don't like it. It's kind of an American thing. Go ahead.
So anyway, we've been working on with this client for 6 years, so I knew the companies that were in similar space, and so we started going through those companies. We found people at that level, and then we approached those people.
What did you say?
We primarily used LinkedIn.
How did you approach
them?
Because they never hurt you. You didn't have a track record in that.
We called them.
Okay.
We called them directly, and we left a message saying, hey, this is Cherny Vitello. Give me a call back. And they called back, and then we talked to them.
That's it? Let's talk about your voicemail message. That's it?
That's my voicemail message.
Say it again.
Hi, this is Cherny Vitello. Please give me a call back and my number, 585-245-8487.
And why did they call you back? Because they didn't even know who you were, right?
No, they have no idea who we are. I really believe that when you are cold calling, that if people feel that the person has energy and enthusiasm on the other line, you're better off getting a chance for a call back than if you are saying, hi, this is Cherny, please give me a call. You know, I think energy has something to do with it.
Yeah, but what about, hi, this is Cherny, I'm a headhunter, and I've got a position.
And they're not going to call me back because the last thing they want to do is talk with a headhunter during the day.
Okay,
so what
so
I want to do is engage
you.
Them.
Yeah, so they call you up, hey, the peppy girl called me, and that's enough to get them to call you back. And were these women or men that you're calling?
We're calling both.
Okay, well, is there a ratio on the callbacks?
No, the callbacks are pretty good.
Okay, so hold on. Just let me guide you through this because I have to pull it out of you. So
you're
they
doing
call
good
you back.
So far, Cherny. Don't let them get you into the corner.
Gary
was
there when I met Cherny. We were hanging around one morning in the fantastic lobby of the Spadina and Bleuer Holiday Inn. Anyway,
well, I'm glad you thought it was fantastic.
Well,
you didn't
I don't
like
get
the
around
lobby?
Too much. I don't get around
too much. No, I didn't
like
the lobby.
Dude, it was like a waiting room for a doctor. Anyway,
it did look like that, yes. But it was a great conference, absolutely.
Anyway, so they call you back. They don't know who you are. What happens?
Well, we ask them, you know, we're very upfront.
What do you say? I want the words. I want
I'm telling
the words.
You. So we say, hi, this is. Thank you very much for calling me back. Say this person's name is Sue. So, hey, Sue, thank you very much for calling me back. Do you have a few minutes? We ask them for their time. We don't go into our spiel right away. And if they say yes, then we're very honest. Hey, we saw your resume, so to speak, out on LinkedIn, and we really like your profile. We're wondering if you're willing to open a dialogue about an amazing account executive position that we have for one of the leading PR firms in New York City. Using keywords like leading or things of that nature really makes a person think.
No,
say, okay.
It sounds like propaganda to me because every recruiter says those things, and not every company can be the leading firm, right?
Well, we're really asking them for their time. We're not pushy. You know, when we're doing the introductory calls.
Are you saying that's more poetic or rhetorical than true? Is that it?
Well, I think if you go right into your spiel, you're going to put a person off. I don't think you're going to be able to open a dialogue. Basically, what I'm looking to do is open a dialogue and have the person willing to talk to me, right?
Okay, you add a little pizzazz.
And you've got to take their defenses down. And you have to really just wanting them to open a dialogue with you. If you don't get them to be that hit today or wanting to talk with you today, they might be willing to give you their telephone number or their email for future. So what you want to do is try to gain some rapport with them and make them feel at ease.
Okay, now Cherney, you just gave away another secret. These people, you didn't telephone source them, you got them off LinkedIn. Is that your main source?
No, we use all different tools. I think today you have to be recruited.
What are those
different? We use Facebook, we use LinkedIn, we use Twitter, we use the net. We do bullions.
You use what?
So we use bullion
searches. Oh, bullion strings, okay,
yep.
Right.
So we use all those ways. We look at press releases that gear towards technology clients. So we look at everything that
really
helps us.
Well, how do you do the press releases? What do? Do you just search them online or what?
Yeah, we search them online. We'll look for companies that are software companies or put in technology press releases, different ways that bring that information.
And the PR person, yeah, one thing about these PR guys, they sign the bottom of the press releases, right?
Most of them do. You know, I think I see a lot of companies steering away from that. I don't know if that is, you know, why they're doing that, but I would say it's 50-50 now whether or not they have the contact information there.
Okay, so you get the person on the phone. How do you make the presentation for the job?
They may not know the same people. I got a couple of friends of mine, Italian chiefs.
We talk to them.
What are you, in the bakery? Who are you talking to?
Levy.
Hold on a second. Hey, are we all? Oh, sorry. What's up, Jerry? Sorry.
What are you doing? You're ruining his animal show, man.
Put it on mute, buddy.
Yeah, put it on mute. No. What I want to know is animals, right, man. You're talking as if these are some secrets. You know, this is if you tell these things, folks gonna know the buried treasure. Jerry, what are we talking about? This is true. Let's not everybody. You know, you can give, a recruiter, the 10 names of the top people, and they still can't recruit them. What do you do that's different? That's
okay.
What I want.
Well, we're getting to that, Steve. Can you give her a break? She's doing fantastic the first time on the show. Okay.
You're a fast talker. You're telling me to give her a break? I'm going on mute.
Okay.
Thanks.
Too revved up from the true USA. I'm sorry, Cherney. He's a good guy, but a little wild, okay?
He's all fucked up, isn't he?
Yeah. And I saw those pictures of him and you, Jerry, and he was just too excited to be there beside the people's coach. Now, Cherney, where was I? So what do you say to these people?
We talk about the position. I'm very upfront with who the company is.
I want your words. You tell them the company right off the bat? Is that what you just said?
After I get them to start talking to me, after I've asked them for their time, after I've asked them, are you happy with your current position? Are you open to a dialogue? And if they say yes, I'm saying, well, great. I am working with a cutting-edge PR company in the New York City area. I say the company name. Are you interested in opening a dialogue with them? Have you heard of them before? New York's kind of small, even though it's a large city, but, within that space, people are pretty sure or pretty aware of. If they haven't heard them, I send them information on the company and pertinent press releases that talks about the value adds. I mean, I've been recruiting in PR long enough to understand what a person's major buying habits are. A lot of them are looking for mentorship because they don't get that in the larger firms. A lot of them are underpaid. A lot of them want, a different title. So I can hit on those buttons and know the firms that I'm calling into, and I can play on that. And that's what I do. I'm saying, hey, this company will do this for you. Like, this company really believes in mentorship from the top down, bottom up. Are you getting that now?
How do you know that? Do they tell you? Do you check
out?
Well,
I've been interviewing in that space, so I know that space well for 6+ years. So I know what their top pain points are.
Let me go back for a second. Your great clients, do they take the time to give you the details on the job, or do they just say, Cherney, I need a PR guy. Go do it.
No, they actually, I really make, well, at first, it's a training process, right? I really want to work with them, and that's one of the things I think they think that we're different is that we really get to understand their business objectives, understand where they want to go. I have them give me questions that they want to ask. Tell me what answers you're looking for. So I do as much pre-screening as humanly possible because these guys are really busy.
My experience is that all recruiters want that, but these clients who put so much value on their people, they won't give you sometimes 5 minutes of their time to give you the details.
I make them give me the time.
When
I pitch them, after they've called me and want to do my, want us to work together and we have a dialogue or I go down and meet them, I say these are the criteria to make this a successful search. The number one thing is communication. So if you're not willing, if I need you to communicate with me in order to make this recruitment process successful. If they aren't, then I say this is what's going to happen. It's going to be an unproductive search. It's going to take longer, and it's going to be more painful. So I show them stats. I show them facts.
Do you find some clients, though, that they seem to agree to all that,
uh-huh.
and then once you're in the action with them, you don't get feedback. They, you know, they're dodging you. What do you do in those situations where you've had the agreement, they swore that they would give you feedback and follow up, and
well, I don't start the search until we have that process done. So I don't start the search.
I'm talking about once you get into the process. Let's say you've introduced a good candidate.
Right.
And
then they've gone silent on me.
It never happens to me. But for the you know, for the other people that are struggling.
Right, exactly.
How can we
you know, there are times when you are building a relationship with someone and you're trying to understand what their process is and things of that nature where you are not getting the information that you need as readily as possible. So I call them and say, hey, listen, I really need to know where you are in this process so I can tweak my search to make this more productive on you because I know you're really busy. And that usually works for me, to be honest with you. You know, I give them a call. I don't rely on email a lot with my clients. I really like the verbal communication so I can constantly build that relationship with them. And I think that makes a difference because you can send an email to someone and that email be misconstrued or, you know, you don't build that relationship. So I call them and I say, hey, I really need your time and I really need to talk to you. And can you give me 5 minutes? And we'll talk about it. And usually that 5 minutes expands out and then it goes forward. If I'm not getting feedback, I'll be honest with them. And I say, listen, if I'm not getting feedback, your requirement is not going to be the first one in our funnel, the number one opportunity. So if you need it to be in the time frame you're looking for, then I need that feedback. I let them know what the consequences are going to be.
Yeah, it sounds like – let me ask a question here. Then I want to open it up to everybody. It sounds – first of all, you play hardball with these guys and they all knuckle under – or else, if you turn someone away, if you say, "Look, I'm not going to work with you. You're full of it," then they'll badmouth you, right? And you say you get a lot of good referrals, not badmouthing. So, are you tough with them? Will you walk away from a search? Yes or no?
I have walked away from a search. Yes.
Oh, why do you consider that hardball, though, Animal?
No,
walking
I think it's
away
realistic.
From the search, most people won't leave money behind. Okay, and they'll bend over backwards to suit their client. They say, look, I'm not here to tell my client how to do their business. I'm here to make it easy for them, to adapt to them.
I think that comes with time, Animal. I think when I was first starting out, I would have been that person that really worked hard, but then that isn't a fruitful relationship for the client or for me. So I'm in 9 years of owning my own business. So over those 9 years, I've learned a lot of great lessons. And one of those great lessons is trying to set expectations. So if the expectation isn't being met, you know, you have to be realistic to them and say, this is not winning for us. It's not a win-win. And I would be happy to let you do something else. And I've walked away.
You know what? The Tech Track, who was on the line, is actually asking on Twitter the same question I had in store for you. Are you a retained or a contingent recruiter? Do you work on, you know, if I place
both,
the person?
But most of it is contingent. There are some clients that I'll do retain.
What about exclusives? Are they all exclusives?
About 80% of my work is exclusive.
Okay, so that's why, because we've been going on for just this is a, I'll let everybody talk in a minute. It's so quiet here. But we've been going on for weeks. If you give the company name right off the bat, what's to stop them from telling your competition? And is it really giving away too much about your client's secrets by blabbing to everybody that they're looking?
You know, I've been recruiting for 15 years, and I've always given the client name unless I can, unless it's a confidential search or something like that. I have only had it once where a candidate went directly to the client, but they told me that because they thought that was the process, and then it worked out fine. So,
Okay. You
know, you have to really trust your candidates, and I think if you don't trust your candidates and you don't give them credit that, you know, they understand. I let them know. I ask them, have you ever worked with a recruiter before? Do you know what it's like to work with a recruiter? And then I explain the process. Hey, I'm your coach. I'm your mentor. I'm helping you through a very difficult process. I mean, it really is a hard process to mentally go through a job search for someone and for the client as well. So, you know, you're helping both of them. I'm a consultant. I'm helping both of those people through a challenging transition for them. And we're win-win at the end. So, but, you know, I'm very upfront with my candidates. I let them know who it is because I want them to research who this client is and make sure that they understand what the objectives are, what the client is like, what the culture is like, so there's a win-win at the end for both them and the client. Because if they don't understand that and you present the person and they don't want a large company and you're sending them to a large company, then it's not going to work. They need to know
so the company, the company itself, the company name and what they do, that's part of the lure for the candidate? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so I have so many questions, but anybody else? Everybody feel free to just shout out. Anybody want to say something?
So far, it looks like Cherney may end up getting the highest guest score, unless you blow it, which is possible.
Thanks.
I mean, things can turn on the show. And
Thanks. I just want you to know, Jerry, I didn't mention it, but now that you're putting me down, that she
disagrees. I'm not putting you down.
She disagrees with everything you stand for, okay?
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Yes,
she tells a company
name. Do you want to, look,
But Cherney,
I don't want to have this debate again.
Okay, Cherney, let
calling
me ask you
calling people
something.
And telling them the name of your client in the very first line of your conversation is not something that works for me, and I don't advise it.
And it has to work. You have to have – each person has a different style. So I absolutely positively admire Jerry. Jerry and I have had great conversations. He and I have been in the business a long time, so we understand it. But what works for Jerry might not work for me. And when I brought on, our new recruiter, and we did our
– The Punk.
We started,
we called the Punk.
We started
He's got
doing
his name. That's his
training.
Superhero name, the Punk.
You know, what worked
name.
For Steven didn't necessarily – what worked for me necessarily didn't work for Steven when it came to cold calling. And we changed our process. So, you know, I think it depends on the individual.
If you say something here, you can't leave it vague. You have to explain it. What didn't work for him?
Well, when I do cold calling, I like to try to reach out to the person via LinkedIn or Facebook first and then do a follow-up call.
Hold on. You just told us that you don't send email and you send in-mails and stuff like that?
Oh, I didn't say I didn't send emails.
You just
I didn't
you
say
said
that
you
at
prefer
all.
You like talking on the phone. Emails
I do
are
like talking on the phone.
I heard you say it.
I do, and that is the absolute truth.
No,
but,
she was talking about the process. Once you're in the flow with your client.
Your hero is here defending you. Come on.
Thank you. There is many times that you have to adapt your process is what I'm trying to say. To be a successful recruiter, you can't just do one process. You have to constantly change the way you do something today that you might have to do differently tomorrow to be successful in that search. So if you think that your process today that worked for you 3 years ago, that worked for you 3 years beyond that, is going to work today, absolutely not. I mean, I've been doing this long enough.
Okay. How much do you pay LinkedIn? Do you have an account with LinkedIn that you pay money for?
I do. I pay the $50 a month.
And how many in-mails does that give you?
I don't use in-mails all the time, Animal. I use it on selective candidates. I think one thing that as I've matured as a recruiter – and you asked, like, how many, when you and I talked, how many calls I make a day. I think my call ratio when I started was probably 40 or 50 a day, and now I'm less than 20 a day because I understand what I'm looking for and understand my clients, and then I can be very selective, and then maybe I only call 20 of those candidates, and of those 20, I talk to 10, and of those 10, I present 3, and of those 3, I get a hire.
Okay, do you think it's absolutely essential to be working in a niche so you really do, as you said, understand what the buying points are and things like that?
I think it's important to be in a sector. I mean, last year when these economic times were uncertain, I broadened my sector and I took on a client outside of my norm. I absolutely positively enjoy it, but it took time to get up to speed and took time to understand that type of sector and industry. So, you know, I wasn't as quick as I would be if it was a client within my niche.
Now, why did they want to work with you if you weren't as quick as somebody who understood their business already?
Because I was referred by one of my key clients that told them the quality of candidates that we present.
Did you do a good job?
I have. We've placed still 16 folks there last year and this year.
With the formerly out of niche client. Is that right?
Yep.
16 people.
Yep.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, now listen. So you sometimes work confidential searches. If you can't say the name of the company because there's a person in that role already, and that person's going to be fired when they find someone to replace him or her, how do you handle that since it goes against your strong inclination?
Well, I think I position it the same way.
Somebody wants to ask. Hold on, give a chance to somebody who wants to talk here.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff Peterson. Hey, on top of your on top of that question, Animal, what are you doing, Cherney? And by the way, you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
What are you doing for your emails in terms of like your subject lines to grab their attention? And this kind of goes off of what you were saying earlier about your phone calls. Seems like you're maybe a, you hide your information. You're a little, you know, vague on your voicemail messages. So I want to see what you do with your emails.
Okay,
as well.
Can we put that? Like, I want to ask her as well. How do you approach people on LinkedIn or Facebook? Like she said. So Jeff, let's put that subject line together with that. We'll just finish off this question. What did I ask you? How do you present a confidential search when you can't say the name of the company? What do you do?
I present the opportunity, and I sell the opportunity and about the company. So I sell everything but the company's name or brand. So I'm selling. This is a great position that aligns with your background. Here is why. So you're a marketing associate, and you've been working, you know, for 4 years within this firm, and this is what the opportunity will gain in your career. When I talk with folks, I really try not to them to think about the opportunity, but what this is going to do for their career. So it's a little different approach.
How do you know what it's going to do for their career?
Well, you've been recruiting for so long, and you've talked to so many people, you understand that. Say, for example, this opportunity is going to give you a different skill set that not your normal person in this skill set would have. So say you're a creative person and you do a lot of work within an agency environment, and you have an opportunity to go outside that environment and work maybe for a company that's more a traditional company in finance, so you're going to become different. You're going to have a different skill set than the normal resume within an agency environment. So what I do is try to say, hey, listen, you know, this opportunity is going to make you stand out. And in today's society and in today's job market, you have to stand out. So I'll let them know that this opportunity is going to give you, you know, an opportunity to stand out against your peers, and this is why. Because
and is that true, or is it just a sales line? Is it true?
No, it's absolutely true.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I look at people's resumes.
Okay, okay,
and I
we
get,
got a lot of questions. We got
okay, go ahead.
Let's get to that. How do you recruit someone on Facebook? First of all, how do you find the right people on Facebook? How do you source on Facebook?
I do a lot with company names, so I do a lot of research within what is a similar type client to the client that I'm or a similar type company to the client that I'm working with. So I really do a lot of research within my space, companies that are alike. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for an enterprise company in software, then I'll look for other enterprise companies within the same space, maybe it be virtualization or infrastructure or whatever, and then I'll try to do searches within Facebook on title. But what I usually do is LinkedIn and Facebook together. So if I find the name within within LinkedIn, then I'll reach out to them in Facebook. Because I remember listening to one of Shally's conferences. It was a webinar that I registered for. And what he said that I think really stands out is that a Facebook or a LinkedIn email is not considered spam. So if I just figure out what the email configuration is with a person at their company, that might be spammed or someone within their company sees that. If I send it through LinkedIn or Facebook, then it's not spam, and they'll get that. So I get more responses from those if I can't get a hold of them real time or live, so I'll try different ways, and then it's not spam, and I'll get a better result.
So you'll find Jeff Peterson on LinkedIn, then you'll find him on Facebook, and send them a message through. You'll friend them. You have to friend them first.
No,
right?
You don't. You don't have to friend them. You just have to send them a message. So I don't have to worry about that. I can just send them
sure
an email.
But you're sure it's the same person? Because sometimes.
Well, I look at education. You can now search by education. There's a better way to do that now. So, you know, I match the schools. I match the experience. It takes a little time if I'm doing it that approach. But, you know, I'm getting that person. And 9 times out of 10, they'll email me and let me know, hey, you know what, thanks for that. I'm really happy right now, but I appreciate a call in the future. Or they'll say, hey, I'm open to a dialogue. Let's talk. And then they'll give me their email address or their telephone number, or we'll go for it.
Okay, so what now? Back to Jeff's question. I didn't forget you. Jeff Peterson, you want to know what she puts in the subject line, right? You take over.
Correct.
Jeff Peterson.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I know that subject
lines
are...
Don't talk too much. Just put the question.
Subject lines are very important. Yeah, subject lines are very important in emails. I mean, you don't want to give away too much, but, yeah, you want to entice them to open it up. So, you know, just curious as to what you're doing
there. Sure. I think it all depends, again, on the search, but right now I'm doing a search for a developer. So I put the developer skill set. I'm like excellent... blah, 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 position in New York City. I always let them know where it is because...
Are you still there? I think we lost her. My vey. Oh, yeah, we lost
did
the
she,
guest.
When she comes back on, ask her to clarify that 2010-3-1
what?
Statement she made before.
About how many calls she makes a day?
Yeah, she said. I think she said she'll call 20, she connects with 10, she presents to 3, and out of those 3, she gets a hire. I think that's what she says.
There's no way.
I think she's talking about her funnel. And by the way, Maureen, I love you.
What's WorkFarce? WorkFarce is following me now. He's on Twitter.
But ask her to clarify that, would you, Animal?
I've been trying to follow. A couple people are asking about that.
Michael, this is the best guest you've ever had by far.
Who's that?
Dave Manister.
Cool.
Yeah, this woman is a rock. I mean, I don't know what her billings are like, and I guess it all depends on that, but this woman's a rock star. She talks a great game.
Well, but I think Jeff Peterson just scared her away.
Maybe.
She has to give away her secrets now.
She is good, though. I mean, Dave's absolutely right.
And that's what Stephen Moyer says. He is just pleased it's fun to be working with him. And that's a good sign. When the youngins say you're good, that's a good sign.
Okay, I'm back.
My phone went dead. There's a lot of guys who like your shoulders. I just have to tell you, because I mean, I've been listening to them say stuff while you've been gone, and I don't know. That sounds gonadal to me. Now Maureen has a question for you, but first finish Jeff's question. What do you put in the subject head?
So I put what it is. So I'm looking for a leading developer. I usually say what it is in the New York City area for a cutting edge company. It's very simple what I put in my subject line.
You wouldn't put the company name in there?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, why not?
Well, I want the person to talk to me first.
Huh.
You know, what if they're not? I want a dialogue. I'm sorry?
That was a little shot against. He's taking on the ladies now. Yeah, he's pretending that Cherny doesn't disagree with them. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Cherny.
So I don't put in the company name unless I really.
We've got these little vendettas going on this show, okay? So
just one.
Most of the time, I don't put the company name in the email. I really want to open a dialogue with the person and see if this is something they're interested in and if it's a fit win-win. And then if it's not, then we move to other opportunities I might have or opportunities in the future. So really, I need to talk with the person first and figure out what they're looking to do before I talk with them about the company.
Jeff, follow up? Jeff Peterson.
Yeah, I mean that's good, but I mean you're giving a lot more information in the email than you do in a voicemail. But I guess you have to, right?
Well, the voicemail that I gave was the Animal asked for cold calling. If it's a candidate that I found out on Monster, or if I found that they sent it to me, then my voicemail is different. But he asked what a cold calling voicemail was, and my cold calling voicemail is very
tell us the one from Monster. If you find someone on Monster, what do you say then?
Oh, I said, this is Cherny Vitello from Whiting Consulting. I'm calling regarding your resume. Would love to talk to you about a blah, blah, blah development position in the New York City area. Please give me a call back.
I see. And you place unemployed as well as employed people, right?
We place active as well as passive candidates.
No. Unemployed, well, you can be active and employed, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But we place the right person for our clients.
Okay, well, that's a non-answer. But anyway, so Maureen, you're on now.
Okay, Cherny, I think you said that you always tell the candidate the location?
Yes.
Okay, and I think before you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry seems to think I'm wrong, that you'll talk to 20, or you'll call 20, you'll connect with 10, out of those 10, you'll present to 3, and of those 3, you'll get a hire.
Bullshit.
That's usually what our numbers are, yes.
Who said bullshit? Because that's what it sounded like.
How can you afford to talk to Animal and not make 20 calls here at lunch?
I said I make 20 calls a day.
Yeah, and Maureen took that to mean that every day you have the results that equal one placement. And I didn't say anything
about every day. What I said was I understood.
Hold on a second.
You guys, come
doesn't
on.
Matter every day.
Cherny, I understood you to say that when you call 20 people, you connect with 10, and of those 10, you present to 3, and of those 3, you'll get a hire.
Correct. I did not think
you cement that every day.
Well,
no, I don't. I wish it was every day that
don't
that happened.
Don't you, though?
But that's not what it meant to be.
So if you present to 3 qualified, you'll get a hire out of those.
Yes, usually. I don't believe in over-submitting more. you know, if a client wants five or six people, then I really talk to them about what is the value of speaking to five or six people. You know, if we really understand what you're looking for and you're happy with what we're sharing with you, then there should be a hire within those three to four people or we're doing something wrong.
Interesting.
Steve Levy, are you still on the line?
Can I just clarify this, though, before Levy?
Okay, go on.
I'm on. Shut up, Jerry.
Cherney, are you saying for every 20 phone calls that you make, which Maureen thinks is the case, that you
no,
make a
No, it's for
place...
a search. So if I engage in a search,
yeah,
and it's a defined search that I'm going for, he was asking what my statistics were for a search, and those are basically, on average, our statistics. Are there times where a search I have to make more phone calls because the search is more challenging? Absolutely. But on average, those are our stats.
I am in the wrong marketplace altogether, obviously.
Well, different searches have it. I'm doing a search right now where I've made over 50 calls. So, but it's a very niche search. So, unfortunately, it's taking, and it's very high in demand. So, it's taking more calls.
Now, is that, do you consider a person that you want to reach, numerous attempts to reach that person, do you lump that into one call?
I do. Oh,
okay. So it might be hundreds upon hundreds of calls.
But it's not. I only do three calls. If a person doesn't call me back within three times, then that
yeah.
person's not interested in hearing
oh, yeah,
from me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
do
you know, I don't
voice messages. Do you leave three fast?
Yes, three voicemail messages. And then they're out. And then I move on. I might revisit them for the next search that might be in
yeah.
a similar space. But for that particular search, three voicemails and I move on.
Steve Levy, problem with the subject line.
That's not a question. Well, in terms of, I tend, because I'm here in New York City, and I'm just going to use the developer one as an example, Journey. You know, I'm an engineer, so I know engineers pretty darn well.
Uh-huh.
What the better engineers respond to, I mean the real better ones, is some element of the work. So, you know, if you're just saying cutting edge, leading, those are BS terms up here in New York, and you are will not get the ones who are at the top of the heap. They just don't work like that.
It doesn't
you,
I agree with you, Steve.
But
she says it works for her. I agreed. I objected, Steve, too. I'm with you 100%, but she said it works for her. She's got a nicer voice than you.
You got to put mystery in the subject line to get a response.
Who said that?
Oh, sorry,
Mike
Jeff?
Raymer. Is that Mike Raymer?
It is Mike Raymer.
Go ahead.
Hi, Animal.
Shoot. Mike, you're
yes,
turn.
Animal.
Ahead.
I didn't know I was live.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm listening, Animal. I'm listening.
You want to say
Everyone's
something?
Got their own technique and what works. But
yeah.
if you want to engage passive candidates, it's got to be a subject line that strikes curiosity. Because if you put exactly what you're looking for right in the subject line and they're not looking, then next, next, next. That's been my experience.
You got to hang a carrot to them. And that's what I try to do, and it works.
Okay. Blake,
it works
Blake
a lot better than Levy's phone.
He's always calling from some, you know, sewer tunnel or something. Is Blake Cannon on the line? Blake Cannon, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Hey, congratulations. Blake just had an operation. He's recovering. He's on drugs right now. They're killing the pain. Thanks for coming, buddy.
Thank you.
Get
sir.
Well soon. Okay,
Thank
just
you.
Wanted to say that. If I knew a song about getting well, I would sing it for you now, but I don't. Okay, resume strategy says, I like her. I don't know. So both men and women like you. Okay, anybody else got something, or is it back to me? Anybody else? Okay, to me. Listen, have you ever had Indo-Chinese food?
No.
You know, this is really an international, you know, community. Sorcerer Srini, he had his birthday yesterday in London, England. He went out for food, and he had Indo-Chinese. And I thought, what's that, tandoori egg rolls or... You know, Bombay
chicken. I can't eat Chinese. I would love to, but I just can't do it.
Why is that? Tell us, you know.
It just doesn't like me.
Okay. Now, listen, you send cupcakes to your clients. You like cupcakes. Is that true or false?
Oh, I love cupcakes.
Do you send them out?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, tell us about that. Come on.
Well, you know, I live in Rochester, New York, in a suburb of Rochester, so it's about 30 miles away. So it's kind of country, so there's not a lot of different things, to, you know, bakeries and stuff like that. But my mom was a good cook, so I love baked goods. I think that also has something to do with my second daughter with that pregnancy that she likes sweets. But anyway, so when I was in New York, I was introduced to crumbs and through – well, actually, let me rephrase that. I was watching one of my clients out on Facebook, and she was talking about this place called Crumbs and how she liked this particular cupcake. So when I went into New York, I always like to bring my clients something, whether it's just, you know, some flowers or chocolate, just to say hi, because I'm only there, like, every couple months to see them. So I'm not there every week to take them to lunch or anything like that. So anyway, I remembered that she liked this particular bakery. So I went back on Facebook. I went through all her postings. I found exactly what cupcakes she liked, and I bought her a dozen of those. And that actually, I was at Crumbs 6 times that 3 days buying different types of cupcakes for her, and you wouldn't believe how much response I got from people on the street, because everyone hasn't seen these cupcakes before, or from a client site, that I took that extra time to research what they like, and I brought it to them. It was just an extra way to say thank you.
You know what? I kind of think, you know, when I want someone's business and I show up with flowers or chocolates or cupcakes, they think this guy doesn't like me. It's just too obvious. He's bribing me for, you know, $20 or $40, and he wants me to pay him $10 or $20,000 in return. Don't they think that?
No, I don't think so.
You don't
have
the shoulders for it, animal.
I think it's that I took the extra time to research what they like.
Can't pull it off.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just sincere, but I think if you come out, personally, I think if you come with lavish gifts, then that's going to turn them off. If you do something that is very sincere and something from the heart and that it's that they know that is a value to them and it's something that they love, they're really going to appreciate that no matter what the monetary value is.
Yeah. How can it be from the heart,
animal,
if you're doing it because they're your client and you want to keep them happy? That's why, I don't know. Well, who wanted to talk there? Who's that?
Animal, it's Jeff Peterson again. Hey, I talked to Jerry Crispin recently, and he was telling me that when he used to try to get business in the past, he would send out thousands of copies of his book, his Career Crossroads book, and he would just put a little personal note inside saying, hey, I like what you're doing. Let's chat when you get a chance, something to that effect. He said he would, you know, be making, having return calls, like, left and right, and it really panned out for him. So I'm starting to do that with my book as well, and I'm starting to see some results.
I think adding that personal touch is what people are missing today. I mean, every candidate that interviews with us at a client site gets a handwritten thank you note from us. And people can't believe we take the time to do that. So in our clients, and we constantly are saying thank you to them for what they do for us. So I think that's part of our brand, and that really pays it forward for them, that we really do not take their business for granted and that we're really appreciative of the relationship that we have.
You know what? I gave my answer to that one in the introduction. Okay. And now visiting
some
clients.
People,
yeah.
Some people, they're gift givers that way. It's just natural. It's part of their personality. It feels right. Some people just can't do it. I'm kind of like you, Michael. It feels kind of weird giving gifts to strangers. But I think some people, it comes across as more natural because it's in their personality.
Now, here's something. Turney, do they give gifts back to you?
I've gotten gifts from my clients, yep.
On the same basis, on a regular basis? Because they're not offering you the same kind of bribes. They're paying you a fee. That's the difference, okay? That's all I have to say about that.
What if you get someone just really drunk?
Who said that?
Burke Farce, I think. Yeah. Okay. Now, you only have 496 connections on LinkedIn. Does that $550 a month give you an extended database?
You know, I was very, when I first started using LinkedIn, I was very selective about how I built that. I think my attitudes over the last year has changed a little bit, but I am still pretty selective of who I bring into my LinkedIn.
That's so wrong. That is so wrong. I can't believe you actually find people that way.
I it works for me.
The more people you're connected to, the bigger database you're searching from.
Right, but that's more weeding than I have to do. So I try to make it more selective. That's just my approach.
Animal?
I'm sorry?
She's a second level connection, not directly.
See, that's a testimony to her discretion.
Okay, okay. Now, you said, I'm just going to read my own notes to myself. Now, I read on your LinkedIn profile and something, and I don't understand the logic of what you've written, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it says, we believe that the most important asset of any company is its people, and we provide qualified candidates that help you achieve your business goals. You know, and I wrote my comment is, if you're a recruiter, do you have to tell me that you provide qualified candidates or that you're helping me achieve my business goals? Isn't that understood? You know, and isn't that just pap, and why do you do it? I mean, you seem so smart.
Well, our whole approach to recruiting is value-based recruiting. So what we do is we provide the top-level candidate for you, for your needs, that will start making an impact in your business within less than 90 days.
Does anybody not do that?
Well, you know, I had someone point out to me in conversation that look at what your people do when they join a company. And so I looked back and talked to folks about what they've accomplished, and what they accomplished was very quick and up to speed. So we came up with this term value-based recruiting. So
well,
that's
can I call foul really fast, really quickly? This is WorkForce. Is that you know, there are a few things out there, only a few, that I just can't handle. And you've been awesome on this call today. I mean, this show has been fantastic. But do you really tell clients that you offer value-based anything?
Yeah, I do, and it works.
Okay.
I mean, she's just like Jerry. Jerry always says, look, you want to argue with me? Outbill me first. The same argument, it works for her. I mean,
I think you need to show a client, because there is, you know, recruiting to an organization, you know, I am not a car person. I love to drive a car, but I don't know anything about a car. So if my car broke down on the side of the road, or if I had to change a tire, I would have to either call my husband, my father, or AAA, depending on where I was, because I'm not good at that. I am good at hiring people. So, you know, a company can either be very good at hiring someone or need help, and they come to a recruiter when they need help. So I need to show them that by doing what you're doing, or tell me about what's not working in your past searches, and help them analyze that. That's part of my job, because if there's a process that needs to be improved on either my side or their side, that needs to be addressed to make the recruitment process work. So a lot of people don't know how to go out and effectively hire. So we have to show them, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to pitch someone. This is how you need to sell them on the opportunity. This is what you need to do. You cannot have a person come in and interview 11 times. I just heard a candidate this week that said they went through 11-person rounds of interviews. Oh, my God. So luckily that wasn't my client. But you have to educate them,
well,
and that's part of our job.
If that was your client, what would you say to them?
If I said they took 11 rounds?
Yeah.
I would say, what is the value of that? I mean, explain that rationale to me. And, yeah, if that makes sense for your organization, then, this is what is happening to the candidate side. I mean, they're taking 11 days off of work or 11 afternoons off of work. Or, you know, you have to think about how this is impacting your candidate as well, because it is a sales process. And
right.
If you don't
and
think
I,
of it
and,
as
and
a sales
I,
process, then it's not going to work.
And I completely agree with you. The term value-based, I guess, is what threw me off. And what you're saying is that if somebody goes through 11 rounds of interviews or whatever, there has to be a purpose behind it, right?
Exactly. And so let's talk about what that purpose is. Is that something you want to do on the next search? Because if you're hiring me and said you have to hire someone within 30 days, which is what we try to do, how are we going to fit that in that recruitment process that doesn't make sense? You know, how are you going to achieve that? So, you know, I try to learn from what they've done in the past, and we use that. Our methodology is the same, but we customize it a lot for what works for the client, too. So what works for one client might not, again, work for the next client. So I'm not going to push a process that doesn't work for them, that works very well for another, if we all can have that win-win and be successful. So I try to be pretty flexible in what we can do.
Okay, now I'm not going to fold like the work farce. The stuff you've got on your LinkedIn page is pap. Now, for some reason, it works for you, just like giving cupcakes and, you know, handwritten little thank you cards.
You know, I do have to probably improve my LinkedIn. It's just unfortunately not a priority right now.
Yeah,
you know,
what about your blog?
Here.
What your blog?
Journey, I see that you have three things going for you, which are very good. Nothing out of the ordinary, in my view. You're a great communicator. You clearly understand the recruiting process. You give a real personal touch, which I think goes such a long way. And the third thing is that you deliver, right? You deliver
exactly.
For your clients. And those three things are a great combination, but it's nothing out of the ordinary that I see.
Okay. Is that a backhanded compliment? It sounds like it to me. Yeah, you're nice, but you're nothing special. Is that what you said?
You know what I hear in Cherney's voice, and some people on Twitter have been commenting, is a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of verve.
Were you a cheerleader?
No. Oh, my God, no. No.
Oh, my God, no. Okay.
I'm shy.
You don't sound it.
Are you
yeah,
an
I'm
introvert?
Very shy. If you put me in a room of people, I'm going to be the wallflower.
Yeah, okay.
Cherney, are you an introvert?
No, not at all. I'm very extrovert. But I'm shy around people I don't know. As soon as you get to know me, you can't get me quiet. But if I'm in a room of people, you know, I married a very, very loud person. So over the last 18 years, I've become more quiet because I married basically a comedian. And he really is funny. So, you know, I've had to take a second seat to him. So that kind of transpired as well.
Why didn't he call in?
So,
you know, I wish he was here today. I was just saying that to Stephen. I go, because my husband's name is Stephen, too. I go, if Steve was here today, oh, my God, I can't imagine what the show would be like. But he travels almost 100% of the time. He's a sales trainer, so he's, I think, somewhere in Connecticut. I don't even know where he is. He's somewhere.
Okay. Now,
so I have a question just very quickly. And I know.
Yeah. Well, how come you came to life as the actual real work farce again? You're a little on the weak side.
I think we lost Cherney.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry.
No, so I have a question, and it might go back to something that we talked about at the beginning of the call, so I apologize if I'm going backwards, but do you feel as though, let's say that you still had a great voice and this level of enthusiasm and this level of delivery, do you feel as though it would be a difference if you were an attractive female, which apparently you are, I've not seen your picture, but versus a 400-pound man?
I think to be successful in recruiting today, you have to be, you have to know what you're looking for. You have to understand your client. You have to understand your candidate, and you have to deliver.
Okay,
and you have to have a passion.
But
that's my comment
on that. The question was funny. You know, it doesn't even count because I don't think you have to meet. Personally, I don't think you have to meet people. Obviously, it works
Wrong.
For you. It works for Jerry. He drives 6 hours there and 6 hours back.
I meet all my clients. I actually go and work a half day, or I go and I spend the afternoon with them. So I see all my locations. I think that's really helpful. I think if you don't go and see the culture or the atmosphere of your client, how can you sell it?
Okay. Now, you said, here's something. You said you found value in coaching. You said, I was referred to Phoenix, the coaching company, 4 years ago, and I have really enjoyed my coaching experience. It has made me successful both professionally and personally. I would not be where I am today without using the skills that I've taken away from my coaching sessions. Can you explain that in concrete terms?
I think for me personally, then my number one job is I'm a mom of two wonderful kids, and I own my own business. And so at times there are struggles between where your priorities were, but just time. So what my coaching experience taught me was how to be better at time management. And so I do work 60, I might even work 65, 70 hours in a week, but I am now creative with that time. And I'm really good at trying to carve out time for certain pockets. So, you know, I'll start my day at 4:30 or 5 so I can recruit or source in the morning. So my core time between 9 and 4, I'm on the phone. You know, I'm not sourcing. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm on the phone. So in the evenings, I can be a mom. And I'm very transparent about that with candidates and clients. At 4 o'clock, I turn into the pumpkin mom, and that's what I tell people that. So if they want to work in my world and they want to have me help them, they have to be open to hearing kids in the background at night because, you know, when you're a recruiter, you never stop working. So, you know, you're at a soccer field or you're at a Recruit Fest conference or what, you have to be on the phone and willing to take those calls from your client or your candidates. So my kids are very used to mommy being on the phone. But, you know, what coaching taught me was how to be better at work-life balance.
How'd you find your coach?
Actually, she was referred to me by one of my former bosses who utilized her, and I worked with Phoenix for 4 years. It was great.
4 years, and just tell us the structure. Since we're there talking about it, how often did you talk? Was it on the phone or face-to-face?
No, it was on the phone, and for the first 2 years, it was every other week, and then the last 2 years, it was once a month.
And what did you pay? Can you continue to tell us?
I don't remember. I think it was like $400 a month, I want to say.
Wow. Okay. Uh-huh.
It was expensive.
But it was better than you could get out of a book. Why was that?
I think when you are a business owner you have to really pull, and that's what I love about Twitter, or I love having dialogue with other folks, is that you have to share experiences. And what I loved about coaching is that she could share other people's successes and experiences, which I wouldn't get out of a book.
Okay.
She made you read a lot of books, so you had to read a lot of different things.
But then you got to talk to her about them.
But it was good to talk with someone that had shared experiences, because then you don't feel so alone.
Uh-huh. Okay, my last question. Is recruiting, because I'm not clear from what for you, is recruiting more sourcing or is recruiting more selling?
I believe recruiting is a sales process. I fundamentally believe if you're a recruiter, you have to be good at sales.
You don't think it takes that much skill to find people. Is that it?
You have to be creative. No, not at all. I think there is a lot of different ways to go about recruiting, but one of my first bosses who actually got me into this said that recruiting isn't rocket science, but you have to understand how to do it. And if you don't know how to if you don't like people, if you don't want to help someone, and you don't know how to sell, then I don't think you're going to be successful in recruiting. Because fundamentally, you're trying to help someone. At the end of the day,
right,
I love to see that win-win, and I love to see a smile on a candidate's face. I mean, I got an email from a guy today that said, "Hey, thank you for helping me." I didn't place him, but I sent him a note saying thanks, and really that made my day because I didn't have a good conversation before that with another candidate. So that because that person took the time to say thank you really made me feel good, and that's why I do it, is to help people.
Uh-huh. Okay. I guess I have to move on to the Jerry After Show. Cherney, you're welcome to stay for his show. He'll be rating us as guests, you as the guest and me as the host, and saying other bad things. But I guess that's it. Thank you very much for
coming
on.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Thanks,
yeah,
Cherney.
I'm just looking for the right man.
Yeah. All right. Do we still have the bad phone guy here? Sounds like it.
You mean Steve?
Yes.
Jerry.
Oh, it's gone.
Jerry.
Yo.
20, 10, 3, 1.
Maureen, that is not accurate.
Maureen, I
You heard her. You heard her. It is accurate.
No,
well, I heard. Okay. So I'm not a recruiter. You guys know that, right? So my past life has been as an executive recruiter, and I work in HR technology and all other types of crap now, right? So here's my deal: is that I think that she was trying to say something about funneling or whatever, but I think that her percentages were way off because Maureen, you hit it right on the button. That she should be making placements all the time. In fact, almost daily. Secondly, I saw her kind of make statements against some of the things that she had talked about earlier on in the show about not having to ever make a cold call. But then when she said, when I'm making cold calls, and I just picked up on that. I didn't say anything about it. But
defend myself because I'm still on.
Yeah.
She said she cold called her client, her
candidates,
not the client.
Those are candidates.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still on. Am I supposed to be on or am I not supposed to be on?
Yeah,
you can be on.
You can be on.
I think what people need to understand is that the statistics of 20 to 10 to 1 is an average. And some searches are more and some searches are less. But those are statistically our averages for a search. So
if that really is the case. But, Cherney, I just have to think, well, then why
but
would
I don't,
you make 20
I, I'm not,
calls a day? I mean, that would mean that you're really making 20 placements a month. And that's what I think Maureen thinks here.
Right, no. I have a certain
number of searches. I don't think
that.
I do not think that because I don't
think
she's working on that.
I have a number of searches that I'm working on. So if I'm engaging in a search that might take me 30 days, I might be working on 4 searches. Again, I have to, I have that work-life balance thing, so I don't have 400 searches. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So if I'm working on a search that I've engaged on average, those are statistics. So, we average, 3 to 4 placements a month for the searches that we handle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sounds to me like you're very efficient in what you're doing, but it's you're definitely kind of balancing it with your home life.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Not necessarily on. If you were doing this 24/7, you'd be making some crazy numbers, but that's not really your goal.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
well,
so
yeah,
I think what you have to figure out, the person asked me, the coaches, is that, you know, I am selective on the searches that we go after. I am not working off monster and just guessing and things of that nature. These are real, live opportunities that we're going after. So, you know, I have to also limit what we can handle. And what we can handle, you know, I think we have about 20 openings right now in various stages. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also have to limit what we can handle. So our numbers might be different if we had a broader scope. And that might happen as we grow the business. But right now, this is what we're doing.
And
so
to clarify, 20 calls isn't really 20 calls. It's 20 people that you want to either connect with or determine that they don't want to connect and have a dialogue. It's 20 potential candidates that you either
right.
call,
but there could also just
email.
Be one call. So I guess, yeah, if we have to
you
clarify
know,
the number of calls I have to make that placement, I guess maybe that's where we're misunderstanding each other. Then
Maureen's misunderstanding. I'm not.
Well, and I kind of like what Dave said too, and then also my apologies for misunderstanding myself is that you know, if it is about efficiency, then you've done something right. And as a salesperson myself, you have to look at what is available now to go after, and it seems like that's what you've
really. What I've really done, and what I'm trying to teach my recruiters, is that you have to be there. You have a certain amount of time to be effective, and to me, that's 48 hours. If you don't have paperwork, good quality paperwork in front of a candidate or a client, excuse me, within 48 hours or 3 days, then you're not being effective. They're going to go somewhere else. They're not going to think you're real. You have to test the waters. Why spend 2 weeks on a search and then present your first candidate and then you're totally off base or they've changed their mind? So you kind of have to bring them in, right? So speed is really important to us. But to be effective, like you said, I really work very hard on calling the right person. So I'm not going to call a person just to guess to see if they're a fit. I mean, we really look to make sure they're a fit before we call.
You know what you have to do today.
I'm sorry?
How many recruiters are on your team?
I have one full-time recruiter, and then I have a part-time contractor.
Trudy, do you call people for referrals only?
You mean candidates?
You call, yeah, candidates or people who are working that you know call for referrals.
I do that. I do reach out to, depending on the search, I do reach out to people that I know in the search, yes. But I don't do that all the time. It all depends on the search.
Okay, because in 3 days, you have a slate of how many candidates do you have in 3 days' time?
Usually I have 1 to 2 that I'm looking at.
Okay, so you don't wait for three. Sorry, Jerry, I got to ask this question. You don't wait for 3 people before you call them, right? To make a presentation.
I usually, by the third day, I've already interviewed 4 or 5 folks, and I've already made a selection.
Okay, but you just said you might have 1 person, maybe 2. Is that right?
Right. It all depends on the search, yes.
Okay, and if they say, no, I'm not ready yet, you say, listen, smarten up, let's do it. Is that right?
What, the candidate or the client?
No, the client. You say, look.
No, the client's usually ready to start interviewing right away.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure what point you were trying to make there, Animal.
Well, some clients say they're in a rush, and then when you
yeah.
get them the candidates, they can't get the panel together, you know, they, you know, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, you lose your people. I mean,
yeah,
it,
and
I'm
that
with
sometimes
you.
Has happened.
Yeah, that
it sometimes has happened where they're not ready to move as fast, and we've missed those people. But if they say that, if they call me up and say that we're not going to start something until May and it's February and they want me to start recruiting on it, I'll explain to them that that's not an effective use of their time. Because if you're not looking to hire that person until May and you start in February, that person's going to be gone. So you have to set expectations with your clients and explain to them so they understand.
So, Trudy, is it fair to assume that you think that time kills deals?
It does, in my opinion. And I've seen it happen a million times.
So if it goes much beyond 48, 72 hours, you're in trouble.
If I haven't found a candidate. Most of our candidates are less than 30 days, our placements. But
well,
you have to start that engagement.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. But
mismanagement kills all deals. Mismanagement
of
expectation and not understanding what the process is kills deals, not time.
As well as time. As well as time.
I hate to interject here, but I'm going to have to run, but I'm interested in piggybacking on both of your questions and asking, in your experience, what else kills deals besides time?
Well, I think when you have time, like if you let a candidate that's really excited about your position today, and, you know, I think what also kills deals is that unexpected event. I mean, I think the hardest thing that we have to do as recruiters is that we don't read minds, right? And we have to take face value of the relationship we have with our candidate and that they're telling us exactly what's going on. But some candidates are close vests, and then there's that unexpected thing that can come in that could kill the deal as well. You know, that'd be a company, that could be, a counteroffer, you know, a variety of things. But I think that comes back to the time. Or what Jerry said, risk too. You have to set expectations with candidates, but sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes they, there are other things or there are other factors that come into play. But that unknown also can kill that deal. But
How often is salary an issue for you?
I would be curious what other people are. I think salary right now, it's really hard to say because we're dealing in, even though I think the market has turned up and I think that we're heading out and it's a positive way, I don't know how long this is going to last, but, you know, it's a nice ride right now. I don't think companies have realized that the candidates are getting multiple offers, that they're going to have to be thinking about salary again, that they can't give a person a $10,000 pay cut just because it's a job. That mentality is off the wall. Most of my candidates right now are dealing with 2 to 3 offers.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of that.
Are you seeing that, Jerry?
Yeah.
It punched me in the stomach how
it's
fast.
It's kind of surprising because you're thinking, well, of course this guy's going to want to take this offer. There's nothing else happening. And next
thing
you know, it's like, hey, man, I just took another job. I had a guy plane tickets were bought for a candidate to fly to an interview, you know, like the next Wednesday, and this was Friday that they got the tickets for him. And Monday afternoon he said, hey, sorry, guys, I just accepted an offer. I thought it was absurd, but, and that was out of nowhere. You know, he's saying, no, I've, had a few telephone interviews, nothing really in particular, and it just seemed like a normal chain of events where, okay, well,
right.
Now we're flying our guy into Wisconsin, and it was, and time didn't kill that deal. It was mismanagement either on my part for not digging deeper. It was, the candidate not really cluing in on what's on the whole picture. Sometimes candidates, they're still not going to tell you everything that's going on.
Absolutely, that's the hardest
thing. A great relationship.
And I set that expectation with my clients, too. Like, if they say, well, what is your guarantee? I'm like, listen, I'd be Bill Gates if I knew. You know what I mean? So you have to understand that we're dealing with a human being, and they're not going to always tell us everything that's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to be honest with them on that. I mean, I might think I have a great relationship, like you said, but, there always might be holding something back, because – unfortunately, recruiting has a bad name to a lot of folks. So I'm constantly having to show them why we're different and why recruiting is a value add and why recruiters really are good people.
Excellent.
If you guys are seeing that happening more and more, I have to ask why. Why is that happening? Where are these candidates coming from?
I mean, that have the offers?
Yeah, the multiple offers. Jerry said he's seeing it lately, too.
It's unbelievable. Is this Maureen?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Maureen. How are you?
Hi.
I really value all your tweets, by the way. I think for me in New York City, I'm not seeing as much in Boston, but in New York it is hot right now. And it's not in just one particular area. It's like in every skill set that I'm working on, whether it be PR to a developer to a project management or a marketing person. I think companies have gotten the go-ahead, and they're scrambling, and there's like a mass exodus. I mean, when we were cold calling for the AE position, people left about 2 months ago. I mean, companies are just hiring left and right.
Mm-hmm. And they have the advantage now of, there really are quite a few good unemployed candidates. And
I'm finding this more on the passive side, though, than I am on the active side.
How, define passive.
Someone that we've had to approach via LinkedIn or, that it was their resume wasn't on Monster.
Maureen wants you to say that you only found them on a secret telephone way back in the mechanical room.
I view, though, what Maureen does is still a value add because there's still a lot of people. Like when we were doing the AE search, I couldn't believe that the lack of AE talent that wasn't on the net.
Are you talking about application engineers?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's some account executive. So these are people in the PR space. You would think they would be online. You think they would be on some form. And they're not. They're underneath the cover somewhere.
Wow.
So, same with we were doing an inside sales job in New York City. We couldn't find them anywhere. And so I think that
Attorney,
type of sourcing is valuable.
Attorney, I don't call a candidate that you find on LinkedIn or Monster passive. I just don't. I think
I didn't say monster was passive. That's active to me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Or the internet. I think many people are on there to be found. You know, it's a subtle signal they're sending.
I think
out.
LinkedIn is now, you can't classify LinkedIn as passive. But I think if you find someone on Facebook or you do a bullion and you just find their name on random, that to me is passive. If
more
they're
passive
not.
Than LinkedIn?
Yep. LinkedIn, like I just put a posting out there yesterday on LinkedIn for a senior PR manager, and I'm really disappointed with results thus far. I thought I'd get flooded, like 200 within like 2 days. I think I've gotten 4. And that's for a PR manager job, anywhere in the Northeast. So I think LinkedIn is, you know, it's a good way to find people, but I don't think I find all the great people that you might find doing what you do. I wish I had your talent. I don't have that.
Maureen, we all love you, and we love what you do.
I know. I love you too, Jerry. I love WorkParts too, if he's listening.
Hey, real quick, who's here? Because we do need to get an official, though I'm suspecting, you know, near a 10, maybe a 9, 9.5.
Well, I'm going
to
bid you guys farewell. I have to go handle a couple other things.
Hey, you're a great attorney.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, who's here? We've got Maureen.
Workforce.
Andy Gregory. Workforce is still here. Workforce.
Laura's here.
Workforce, you heard
Laura?
Me.
Laura?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
We haven't heard. Why didn't you say anything?
I was just lurking in the background. I was sort of doing some work while I was listening in, so.
Just calling
just
all
coming
your
back.
Candidates, telling them who you're recruiting for. Nothing unusual.
Beg your pardon?
I say, just calling everybody you know, telling them who you're recruiting for. Nothing unusual.
Ooh, Jerry.
I don't see what's
Jerry,
wrong with
you're
that.
Okay, who else do we have? Manister, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Cool, man. Andy Gregory, I know you're here.
I'm here, man.
Who? Blake? He's on meds. He's probably in some kind of weird
Twilight
medically
zone.
Induced coma.
Yeah.
I'd like
okay,
to be
who
there
else?
Right now.
Speak up, anybody. It's just five of us? Six? Well, there's me. I'll write my name down there, Jerry, _ Albright. Okay. Okay, Maureen, please give us a rating for the guest.
For the guest, she was a 10.
Mm-hmm.
She was
mm-hmm.
great. She was really, really good.
What about Animal?
You know what I'm going to say.
Nope. You need to...
10 for Animal.
Workforce. Lazy scores on me, dude.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to give her a 9, and I'm going to give Animal a 9 as well. The only reason why they're both not getting 10s is because he seemed a little bit out of sorts in that I don't know if he was captivated by her beauty or whatever this, you know, preconceived note.
He's
yeah,
a shoulders man, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen her, but the for her it for the guest, it was just because I picked up a couple of inconsistencies, but she was fabulous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So give it. I mean, that's the highest score I've ever given, man. 9 on
yep.
both counts.
Laura,
I'm going to say 10 for both. It was the best show I've listened to in a really long time.
Okay, Dave Manister, I know you already give her a 10.
I can give her a 9.5 because
we can only
you know,
do
there might
numbers.
Be a better guest in the future at some point. I want to leave some room, but she was fabulous.
I can only accept a whole number, though. I'm sorry.
Let's do a 9 then. Let's do a 9.
Oh, go with 10.
I thought she was amazing, so I'm a fan. On the Animal, I'm actually going to ding him a few points. I'm going to go with a 6 on this one, although it got better like as he kind of got through it. And I'm gonna agree with Workforce. I'm just gonna take off some more points for it. I think that he focused a lot on, you know, she talking to male candidates, female candidates, and I don't know, it kind of lost me on that stuff.
You know, and sometimes Animal is just plain surprised when he hears somebody talking about how to actually make a placement, and it's like, well, it's almost as if sometimes. It's so shocking to him that you can actually talk to your client about what's happening.
I thought you were going to say it was so shocking that you can make a placement.
No. I mean, he is a recruiting animal.
I'm sorry.
He has made one. Okay, Andy Gregory, how about a score?
You know, the limited time I was on, I'll just go 9 for her and 8 for Animal.
Okay. I'm going to give her a 9. I'm going to give Animal an 8. I think
that's your prerogative. It's your show.
You know, what really strikes me is just that she's simply just – she's doing the work. She's doing the job the way it should be.
Yeah.
And it's just rather interesting that somebody who can talk about recruiting the way it really ought to be is, like, the number one guest ever on Animal Show.
So here's the key, Jerry. Right, is delivery, and that's the thing I kept hearing over and over and over again is that who gives a shit about whatever else she's doing? If she's delivering and she's getting referrals, then she's doing a hell of a lot right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
I actually think, and I don't know if he meant it as kind of a slap or if he meant it as a compliment, but with what Mike Raymer said, in that she's not doing anything that's rocket science. She's just doing, it sounds like she's just doing the basic stuff right. But that's really, I mean, this is not a rocket science profession.
That's right.
You do the basic stuff right, you make placements, and you're done.
Yeah,
so,
our jobs are not rocket science. You're right. Well, it's true. David makes a good point. It's really
true.
The basic stuff. If you do the basic stuff well, it's like, what do they say about saving money? If you look after the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure quite how to take Raymer's thing there. I mean,
maybe you should ask him.
Interesting. Well,
Animal said he didn't
reply. So maybe he was just, I don't know.
She comes across with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of vim and fervor in her voice, and I'm sure that goes a long way. She sounds like
mm-hmm.
she has a lot of energy, and I think that's something that we oftentimes don't talk about
mm-hmm.
in this business. You have to be physically strong to do this business.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to sustain yourself.
Maureen, I think it's confidence. I think she's confident.
Competence over energy?
Confidence.
Confident.
She's confident in what she does for a living, and it's not about energy.
Is that
you,
Blake?
I think that energy is an interesting subject if anybody wants to take it up.
Yeah, it's Blake.
You coming in and out of your drug-induced coma?
Yeah.
What's your score, man? We didn't get your scores, Blake.
Well, this is an interesting one for me because I'm going to liken it to playing golf with a scratch golfer. You know, when you play with somebody that's really good, you kind of step your game up, and I thought she was a 10, and so I thought Animal kind of played his game up a little, and so I was going to give him an 8 until he asked the question on Indo-Chinese food, and then that kicked him up to a 9.
Okay, all
right. That was an appropriate place question.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just still trying to get my energy back after a couple long nights in Madison at the True Conference.
So I do have a serious question, and I know it got some laughs, but I mean, let's say, for instance, that there is a morbidly obese man that has that same level of energy and passion that she does, but because of her, I guess, beauty, or you know, if she's an attractive person and she's seeing people face to face, is that playing a role in this? I mean, I'm just curious. It's not that I'm trying to be negative or anything else. I'm literally curious if that plays.
Yeah, I think it does. I think when you go out and meet people, you have a leg up if you look sharp, and you know, I mean, I'm just a regular-looking guy, but you know, I have confidence when I go meet people, and you know, I smile when we talk, and we go out to lunch, and I don't spill anything, and you know, I think that is important. And maybe a person that's not quite comfortable with themselves isn't going to want to go meet people, and is not going to take advantage of some opportunities that meeting in person brings you. Andy Gregory, you go meet people, don't you, Andy? Did he bail?
Yep.
Well, so here's the scoop. Is I think we've seen it all time after time where, you know, there's the Harvard grad that is, you know, not the most socially adept person who won't get the job, but the blonde with assets, tends to get the job a little bit easier, you know, because she can speak a full sentence. She's got all of her teeth. And, you know, it would, you know, I hate to put it in those terms.
I mean, in a larger context, let's say that being an attractive person does at least get you to the starting line, but it's not going to help you deliver.
I think you're doing if anyone's implying that she's successful because she's attractive, I don't think so.
I'm not implying that, Dave, at all. I'm just curious as to, you know, if that might have played a role in her success rate. I mean, obviously she's passionate. I've never seen a picture of this woman, and I'm enthralled, you know. So, I mean, she approaches it with this passion and this fervor that's really quite cool. And she's the highest score that I've ever given on the show, you know. But, I can't help but to come back to the fact that if she is as beautiful as, you know, Animal kept alluding to, then does that play a role in things, you know?
And if it does, what the hell? Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says something about the fortune favoring the fair-faced child. I mean, there's a part in this. Why do you think pharma companies hire, you know, attractive young women to call on doctors?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Exactly.
Okay, everybody. Well, I'm an average-looking white man, but I have to get back on the phone with regular people.
Yeah,
if
I do
if
too.
If you were a better-looking white man, you'd be meeting them in person.
You know it. Yeah. You got to know where your expertise is, you know what I mean?
No, I was just curious. I didn't mean it for her or against her. I was just really curious because I'm constantly fascinated in that idea, you know. So it goes back to video resumes and that whole concept. Maybe definitely a conversation for another time because I have to run too. But thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to you all soon. Okay.
Thanks, everybody. See
Bye,
you, Dave,
everyone.
Maureen,
thanks.
Andy, Blake.
Bye, everybody.
Later.